Our expert has returned again this week. Yes, it's Steve Fierstead. He is a naturopath. He has the Back to Nature Wellness Center in Litchfield, and he and his staff are ready to take care of your needs. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Nice to have you along with us again. What have you done with spring?
Not my fault.
Yeah, I know.
I was enjoying it like everybody is. Like, wow, what happened?
I guess summer's over, huh?
Oh, come, Kenny. this is not what we want.
No, this is not highly unusual, but it's unusual for this much cold to be dropping in at this time of the year.
Yeah.
Let's hope this is not a sign of things to come.
Oh, gosh, no, next we'll be complaining because it's too hot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Steve, a big topic these past few weeks has been, again, diet pops.
Yeah.
And how bad they are for us. What's happening now?
Well, it's really interesting. Like I said, I was on my way over to pick up my tiller from the repair shop, and I was listening, and I believe it was Todd that was on late in the morning, and talking about the fact that there's research showing that diet soda can contribute to Alzheimer's disease.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is that research has been around for a long time, but the corporations that sell it have done everything they could possibly do to keep us from learning about these things.
Oh.
And but it's really interesting to get it. Just, I'm going to start with something really interesting that Dr. Alzheimer, who the disease was named after, when he was looking through his microscope, he found that two types of microscopic bodies that were scattered throughout the actual shrunken parts of the brains of the demented patients. And he called these dark staining bodies neuritic or senile plaques and neurofibrillary tangles. And we've heard about plaque in the brain and these tangles before in dementia patients. And since this observation, these two microscopic lesions, they're called inclusions, have been considered pathologic for Alzheimer's disease. But later he discovered that these same inclusions were found in the brains of normal elderly persons. In fact, we see them in brains of old monkeys and old dogs and old cats and all kinds of things. And so this would tend to indicate that they are part of normal aging and that the various pathological disorders that go with aging. So there's growing evidence that these lesions are not the cause of Alzheimer's disease, but rather a consequence of it.
Oh.
Or that they develop as a result of the death of neurons, but do not cause the neurons to actually die.
Hmm.
Which is fascinating, because when you look at the things that we ingest nowadays, and when you look at monosodium glutamate, for example, which is a flavor enhancer, you know, you hear about the Chinese restaurants with MSG.
Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other one that's, and that's glutamate, and the other one that's an excitatory transmitter is aspartate, or in this case, aspartame, which is, you know, an artificial sweetener. And, you know, we don't think about this stuff as we're ingesting it, because, you know, like I've said before, just because a poison doesn't kill you or have an effect in 15 minutes or, you know, 2 months or
yes,
2 years,
right,
doesn't mean it's not a poison.
No, that's,
you know,
right.
And so I found this really interesting. This, by the way, the information that I'm giving you folks, it comes out of a book called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, written by a neuroscientist named Russell Blaylock, a medical doctor. This is really, really well-established research that a lot of people didn't know about, because, like I said, the corporations don't want us to know this stuff.
Sure, they've been squashing it as it comes out.
Well, yeah, because it's going to cost them billions of dollars if people quit drinking diet pop.
Sure.
Now, this what I found was really interesting, though. This is a testimony of the wife of an Alzheimer's disease patient before a joint congressional hearing on Alzheimer's disease. And I found it interesting because it kind of puts into perspective. And so I'm going to quote what she said. "I can tell you that it's like a funeral that never ends. My husband was a handsome, vital, athletic man, a civic leader, a public speaker, a highly respected businessman. He was administrative vice president of his company. He is now a statistic. He is permanently hospitalized, not knowing his family or speaking a word in the past 4 years. He requires total care as the physical deterioration takes its toll. I have a husband, but I speak of him in the past tense.
Mm.
I am not a divorcee. I am not a widow. But where do I fit?"
Yeah.
And see this, and when you see the devastation that's caused by these chemicals, it's bizarre. It's kind of like beyond belief, and the research is there, you know, showing us these things, because they are classified as excitotoxins. I was doing some research on the internet this morning, and there was one website that was basically trying to debunk it, you know, that's just a bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. That stuff doesn't hurt you, really. And then the guy was blabbing off at the mouth and didn't know what he was talking about. And in the notes that always follow something like this, all of the comments were coming from researchers at major universities telling this guy that he was nuts.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, if someone, and think about this, folks, I especially like to address young moms and young people, because mm-hmm. we're giving this stuff to our kids, or we have young ladies who are of childbearing age that are walking around sucking on a diet pop all day, having no clue that it's capable of causing the neurons in the brain to fire so rapidly that some of them can be either severely damaged or die.
Yes.
Every time you drink this stuff. And so when you've got a child that's trying to develop in the womb with this toxin, mm-hmm. and when you take it, and some people say, well, it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. Well, guess what? A child that's not born yet, or even a little kid, has yet to develop that blood-brain barrier, and so this stuff can have an effect. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, there's evidence now that's been presented to suggest that the artificial sweeteners in your drink can cause brain tumors to develop, and that the number of brain tumors reported since the widespread introduction of this artificial sweetener has risen dramatically. I had a sister who, she's still around, I shouldn't say I had a sister, I have a sister, mm-hmm. who used to drink Diet Pop, you know, just all day long.
Never stop.
And, you know, and so who developed a brain tumor, you know?
She did.
Thankfully, it was benign, and it was surgically removed, and she's been fine ever since, and I don't believe she drinks Diet Pop anymore, because I had warned her about it, but she didn't believe
learned
me. You know, I'm brother, what do I know, you know? There's a lot of research now showing that these excitotoxins could possibly aggravate or even precipitate many of the neurodegenerative brain diseases like Parkinson's and Huntington's and ALS.
Oh, really?
And Alzheimer's, you know? So it's a fascinating thing. You know, we talk about chemicals all the time, mm-hmm. you know, but we didn't have this stuff until, oh gosh, I think it was like 1908. The Japanese have used it, the seaweed that the MSG is extracted from, for hundreds of years as a flavor enhancer, but they were using it more in a natural form. But it was like 1908 that some Japanese researchers figured out how they could chemically extract the MSG from the seaweed.
Oh.
And so therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's not natural. It's not natural. It's not like God made it, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay? And so therein lies the problems. And so after World War II, American food manufacturers discovered the virtues of this taste-enhancing substance, and soon all of the giants, Pillsbury, Oscar Mayer, Libby's, Campbell's, they were adding millions of pounds of this stuff mm-hmm. to processed foods. Because it's been growing ever since. Because, you know, when you think about it, a lot of times, you and I are old enough to remember that a lot of times, decades and decades ago, some of the processed canned foods didn't have nearly the flavor that they do now.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that they disguise the names of these things. Mm-hmm. And so MSG can actually be called a natural flavor.
Really?
Yeah, so it says natural flavor on the label, folks. It could be a dilute version of MSG. And they can get away with that.
I thought when there was recently some law passed for full better disclosure, one was missed, huh?
It seems to have been. Because it's still a bit of an issue. And what's really interesting is that there was a doctor named Olney who found a lot of stuff. He's a neuroscientist working at the Department of Psychiatry at Washington University in St. Louis. And he repeated some tests that had been done by some other neuro researchers. And this guy's findings indicated that MSG was toxic to the retina of the eye, but also to the brain. And when he examined the animals' brains, he discovered that specialized cells in a critical area of the animal's brain, the hypothalamus, were actually destroyed after a single dose of MSG.
Oh, gee.
Now, what was also interesting is that the implications of Dr. Olney's findings should have been earth-shaking, but they weren't. I mean, it was largely ignored, especially by the food industry.
Sure.
Because back then, all baby food had huge amounts of MSG in it.
Oh.
And so we wonder sometimes, you know, we know that autism, they call it autistic spectrum disorder, and it's caused by more than just vaccines, and it's caused by a lot of different things. But this is one of the things, because there's actually some proof showing now that even the baby food manufactured nowadays, not all of it, not if you get into some of the organics and things like that, but there's baby food out there that still has versions of MSG, whether it's natural flavoring or whatever, in the baby food yet.
And nobody's warning us.
Nobody's warning us.
Yeah.
And so we've got little kids, babies, that are eating excitotoxin.
MSG,
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know?
Can I compare this... The way the public is treating this as the same way we did when we first learned that tobacco was not good for us?
There you go. That's a good comparison, because people are, you know, we live in the information age. And,
right.
You know, granted, you can't believe everything you read on the internet, folks. I mean, there's no doubt. And so
right.
you need to do your research. And so, you can go on the internet and you can read that, what I'm telling you is a bunch of nonsense. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to the National Library of Medicine or you go to credible researchers that don't have any ties to the food industry, so they have nothing to gain by lying to you, what you're going to find is that these things are indeed excitotoxins, and they damage the brain, and they're not good for the human body, you know. And so by trying to stay away from them, you know, it's you really have to, if at all possible, stay away from these things, because the brain is, our brain is working 24/7.
Yeah, you know? Oh yeah.
You know, it never sleeps. And so if it has to relax, and if you're ingesting things that are causing your brain to go into hyperdrive, if you will, this is bad. This is really, really bad.
So you have to this brings us right back to what you always say, read the labels.
Oh, you got to read labels.
Yeah.
And even if it says natural flavorings, guess what?
It may not be.
You know, you can make food taste good with salt, pepper, and other spices. You don't need chemicals.
That's right.
And, but when you look at the fact that, again, it brings us back to the thing that you and I have talked about so many times before, Paul, about how many people in this country are living on processed food.
Oh.
You know?
And that's all they eat.
Yeah.
I think you've had some examples of that as patients as well.
Oh, gosh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. There was a neuroscientist named Hayasaki found that if he injected MSG into the gray matter of a dog's brain, the dog would fall down in his cage and begin to convulse.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Okay.
And based on this observation, he concluded that glutamate was causing the dog's brain cells to become overexcited and fire uncontrollably. And since then, there's been a lot of research done that has verified that. And so large amounts of this stuff is dangerous. It's really dangerous. I guess in some regards I'm kind of fortunate. There's actually a homeopathic antigen to MSG.
Oh.
And I am extremely sensitive to MSG. If I get MSG, within about an hour and a half I get a migraine.
Oh my God. You are sensitive.
So I keep this antigen around at home. And I've got one in the console of my car in case I meet, because you never know when you're eating in a restaurant.
Yeah, you don't know.
You know what they're doing to your food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, this stuff's been around since the early 1900s, and it's been in its natural form. It's been used for hundreds of years. You know.
Yeah. So now there is an antigen.
There is a homeopathic antigen.
Okay.
We have it here at the office. It's just called MSG. And so if you are someone who is extremely sensitive to MSG and you're listening to this, you need to know that, because there are times, you can't live in a bubble, you know.
That's the problem.
It's the world we live in. And so it's going to happen once in a while. And for most people, they're probably not even going to notice it. even though it's not good for them and it's not good for the brain. But if you happen to be someone like me that's extremely sensitive to it, you may want to have an antigen like that around because they work really quick.
So MSG, what does that stand for? What is
stands for monosodium glutamate.
That's it. Okay.
And it is a glutamate is a neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be there in proper amounts in our brain, but if we get too much, then we end up with this, overexciting of the neurons.
This mess. Yeah. Well, Steve, thank you for this very, very informative discussion on MSGs, and I look forward to talking to you a little more on Sunday. Can we talk more about this?
Sure. Or,
okay, let's, because I think it's important that we understand what we're putting in our mouth and swallowing.
It is, because a lot of people just grab something and eat it.
Yeah.
You got to flip it around and read the label, folks.
You don't think about it, yeah.
No.
Steve, thank you. Of course, Steve is at the Back to Nature Wellness Center in Litchfield. A certified traditional naturopath, and the number there at the office is 320-693-2541. 320-693-2541. Get an appointment soon. Get in there and visit with Steve. It's amazing what this guy knows. Steve, we're going to get more of what you know on Sunday morning.
Look forward to it, Paul.
Thank you.